Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Welcome to Simple Facts of Life Radio, where, well, now that Labor Day is behind us, summer vacation season is over, it's time to get serious about our labor in the cause of protecting personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from the proverbial hidden bunker in an undisclosed location, somewhere a hopefully safe distance outside of the epicenter of the resistance in Portland, Oregon. If you would like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Well, okay. Kind of having flashbacks to my younger days in Southern California because, wow, weather here is kind of strange. It's kind of like what we get about this time of year in the Los Angeles area, actually a little bit later, usually late September, early October. It gets really windy and you get the fire season. Well, yesterday here was really windy, and there's some fires going on somewhere. I could smell the smoke yesterday. I woke up this morning. I ventured outside the bunker, and the skies were blue, but it was still kind of windy. But about an hour or so ago, my brother had posted something on Facebook. He lives in Salem, about 30 miles south of me, and he showed pictures that it said at 8:30 in the morning it was like, looked like it was still dark because the smoke was so thick. And I looked outside and looked down toward the south, and yeah, it's pretty bad. So I don't know exactly where the fires are burning south of me. And I could see the smoke down there is really thick. So I don't know. I imagine that the people up in Portland are all jealous because somebody has more fires going on than they do. So, yeah, there's that. But, okay, start out. Labor Day's over. Back to school, sort of, maybe in some places. It's that time of year, but it is that time of a leap year. Do you know, the day after Labor Day has traditionally been sort of the unofficial start of the serious campaigning season. Less than 2 months away from the election. We all know there's going to be a lot going on between now and then. But I guess the question everybody's asking, how's it going to end? What's going to happen? Now, if you like listening to the shows that I listen to here on Blog Talk Radio, look at a lot of the media that I read, look at the general consensus in this particular echo chamber, seems to be that Trump is going to win re-election in a big landslide. Well, that's what we want to think. I guess that's what most of the people who might be listening to this show hope will happen, although I do get a few others now and then. But I hate to throw cold water on all of this, but as I mentioned from time to time, I do like to occasionally stick my head out of the echo chamber, see what's going on in the bigger picture. And you know what? If I had to bet my house on the outcome of the election, I'm betting on Biden. I know you may find that hard to believe. And the good news is, had I bet my house on the last election, I would not be coming to you from the hidden bunker. I'd be coming to you from somewhere under a bridge, because I was more sure that Hillary Clinton was going to win than I'm ever going to be that Biden's going to win. However, looking at the big picture, that's kind of how I see it. Now, don't get, like I said, don't get too upset, because my record of predictions is pretty bad in such things. But the only person I can think of with a worse record is Dick Morris, who predicted, Mitt Romney was going to win, and he predicted a lot of other things. I always said that he was very logical, reason, well-articulated analysis, and he was always dead wrong. But he did predict Trump. He was one of the not too many people who predicted Trump was going to win last time. In fact, actually, I think when he came out with that is when I officially declared the election over. Hillary was going to win, because Dick Morris is always wrong. But nonetheless, okay. I guess since I am making a prediction, I guess I should give you some reasons, my logic, why I think Biden's likely to win. Okay, number one, most of the people, you know, here in our particular echo chamber take it as an article of faith that President Trump is going to absolutely crush Joe Biden in the debates. Joe Biden will come off as a complete incoherent boob. Well, I don't know. The way I see it, I'm not so sure. Number one, will there even be any debates? We've been hearing for weeks. Nancy Pelosi came out a few weeks ago and said, well, since Trump is just going to get up there and lie, Biden shouldn't even debate him. Well, I don't think that's going to work, but they're going to try. They're coming up with reasons, you know, social distancing, whatever, COVID-19. They'll schedule something and Biden will, you know, get sick or whatever, some excuse. It's possible. They are looking for excuses to not have debates. I don't know if they'll find any, but the next thing is, well, since Trump's going to lie, we need to have real-time fact-checkers to point it all out. Now, of course, they'll say fact-check both candidates, but, okay, number one, totally ridiculous idea. Because if you're going to fact-check anybody, you kind of need to, you can't do it in real time. It's kind of impossible. Even semi-real time is hard. And who wants to fact check read, you know, some fact check or something somebody said 20 minutes ago. But if you're going to fact check somebody, you have to say, this is what he said. These are the facts. This is why it's wrong. Provide a little documentation. You can't just say, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Well, Biden said something. That's the truth. Trump said something. That's a lie. That's a lie. You can't do that. If you're going to fact check, you got to fact check, which means you have to have the actual facts. It takes a little time. But, okay, even if the debates happen and there are, you know, no fact check, just regular debates like we've been used to, two people standing on the stage, you know, answering questions, commenting on the other's answers, just the usual routine. I think it's wrong to assume that Biden will absolutely tank on this. Because remember, I talk about echo chambers, us in our echo chamber. People on the left are also in their echo chamber. And the Biden that we see is not the Biden that everyone else sees. We look at our media sites and they link to the latest YouTube of Biden saying something stupid. And we think that's all he says because that's probably most of what we hear. Now, I have to go even... what we do here and what everyone else hears isn't the same because I have to go back to, oh, I don't know, several weeks ago when Biden finally came out and made a speech because he just couldn't take being, you know, all the talk about him hiding and not wanting to get out there. So he came out and he gave a speech, I don't know, about a 30-minute or so speech. Now, I actually watched that entire speech, not live, but the video, and I saw that Biden wasn't very good. Didn't look good to me at all. But he didn't just completely blabber and stumble through it like everyone assumes he's going to do at the debates. Now, to me, he was very obviously reading from a teleprompter when he gave that speech. The reason I said that is because I watched him, and you could see, okay, there were no teleprompters in view, but they usually aren't in such cases. It was kind of a close shot, and you could see he would look off, and I don't know if there was a crowd there or not. You know, social distancing, we can't have crowds for a given, but he would like, act as though he was talking to people. He'd look off to the right, and if you looked closely, you could see his eyes were focused about 6 feet in front of him, and he'd say a sentence or two. Then he'd look off to his left, eyes focused about 6 feet in front of him, a few more sentences. It appeared to me it was pretty obvious he was reading a speech. He did okay at it, like I said, but before I even saw that speech, I saw a review from my favorite canary in the left coal mine, a guy I refer to as Blue Checkmark Guy. And he said, well, okay, I had my doubts about Biden, but when I saw he gave this really good speech, 30 minutes off the cuff, just an impromptu speech, no reading anything. That's what this guy saw. And this guy is a professional journalist. He saw what he wanted to see. He saw Joe Biden give a fine off-the-cuff speech. Oh, say hi to Crazy Cajun in the chat room. He said he just found a termite mound behind the washer wall. I'll get some of those chimpanzees from Africa that put sticks in the termite mounds and eat the termites. Everyone needs a pet chimp. While I'm talking about the chat room, say hi to Tim Tapp. I didn't see a show scheduled, but since you're here now, I assume you're going to be coming on. And Stephen from Michigan is in the studio. Hi, you. Now, okay. Here's the thing about the debates. As long as Biden can avoid literally collapsing on the stage, the media is going to declare him the big winner of the debates. And that is all you're going to hear on the mainstream media. How stupid Trump was, how many lies he told, how bad he looked, his hair was messed up, whatever it was. And Biden just looked so statesmanlike and brilliant and articulate. I mean, like I say, to get that kind of a review from the mainstream media, all Biden has to do is remain standing. Now, also at the debates, you got to deal with the moderators. You remember in 2012, Candy Crowley and Barack Obama against Mitt Romney. The moderators are going to be media types. I mean, the first debate is supposed to be Chris Wallace, Fox News. Not a big Trump fan, but, you know, he's got to keep his job at Fox News, so he's reasonable about it. He'll probably do a decent enough job, but still in all, he's going to be tougher on Trump than on Biden. I mean, you can bet on that. Now, why is this? I don't know what Chris Wallace believes, but here's the thing. I think Trump kind of makes some mistakes. He constantly attacks the press, fake news. He's okay with Fox, but in general, he attacks the press. What happens? The press circles their wagons. Even Fox News does not like to see the other legacy press media attacked, because it's kind of an attack on one of them is like an attack on all of them. Now, in fact, I mean, you know, thinking back, I mentioned Blue Checkmark guy, the well-known in some circles journalist. About the only time back in the day, you know, in the dark ages, you know, before Trump, about the only time I ever heard or read anything where he attacked President Obama or his administration was when they went after some journalist from Fox News. It wasn't the better known guy whose name escapes me, but a reporter, a lower level, but he came after this woman about something, and Blue Checkmark guy stood up for her. Now, I know he wasn't standing up for what she was reporting. He was circling the wagons because an attack on any member of the press, especially, you know, the mainstream press, even if it's Fox News, is an attack on all the press. So, okay, just the bottom line on all this. Don't count on the debates to knock Biden out. Might happen. Hope it happens. But don't count on it. But the real issue here, the Democrats are working hard, formulating their plans to steal the election. I've said, you know, I don't know, here or other places, that if we have an honest, straight-up election, I think Trump wins probably a little bigger than he did last time, which wasn't a landslide, but I think he wins. But all this mail-in ballot stuff, all we're hearing, you know, about a week ago, something came out, an article, an Axios from about a Democratic polling outfit named Hawkfish. They are saying that according to their analysis, Trump is probably going to win. They're saying he could hold a projected lead of 408 to 130 electoral votes on election night if only 15% of the vote-by-mail ballots have been counted. Now, 408, that's electoral vote. That's a landslide, you know, 2.5 to 1. However, the modeling scenario portrays Biden as ultimately winning a massive victory, 334 to 204 is the numbers they're projecting. Now, it may not come, you know, all those numbers probably are kind of on the extreme, but it's happening. They are making their plans to steal the election. Now, they've been working on this for a while. We've been seeing their plan. They've been starting slow, but you can go back 10 years. I think it was about 10 years ago, maybe a little. Remember Al Franken, Minnesota Senate race? When the polls closed and the votes were counted, he was slightly behind. I think the incumbent Norm Coleman had claimed a victory. I don't know if Al Franken had even possibly sort of semi-conceded, if I remember. But all of a sudden, they started finding these ballots. Hey, look what we found in Fred's basement. Look what we found in Gertrude's car trunk. Went to court, got all these things counted, and there it was. Al Franken won. It was only by a few hundred votes, but that's a few hundred more than it needs. It only needs one. And then in 2016, we saw another little thing in New Hampshire, if you remember. If you're watching the returns through most of it, it was really close. Trump was mostly ahead. Also, then Senator Kelly Ayotte was mostly ahead. Then it turned around. And we come to find out, well, New Hampshire had this same-day registration. Anyone could show up and say, yeah, I just moved to New Hampshire. I want to register to vote. They had like 4,000 of these people. I think the margins of victory in the presidential and Senate elections were something less than 2,000 votes. Now, of the 4,000 people who used the same-day registration, you remember what states border New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, states where the elections were not in question. Of the 4,000 people who registered to vote on that day, there were only about 400 actually changed, filed for a driver's license, register a car, that sort of thing. The other 3,600 were probably fakes, coming from Democratic states, probably. That's another way to say, I think they stole that election. And, of course, I don't know, there was a video by a guy named Razor Fest. If you can stand the profanity, you should watch it, because he pointed out what happened in his home state of Arizona 2 years ago. When the polls closed, Martha McSally, who is a current senator because she was appointed to fill John McCain's seat, but and she's up for re-election again this year, but she was not hugely, but fairly comfortably ahead. But then they started finding these votes places, you know, but it was at the point where current senator, Kirsten Sinema, whatever, it was like, why hasn't she conceded yet? I think maybe she knew something, because they started finding these votes, and it took about 4 or 5 days later, they finally got all these votes from places that tended to normally vote Republican, but those votes went 90% Democratic. So, does anybody believe that? I don't know. Getting short of time here, so let's wrap this up with what needs to happen to avoid the attempts to steal the election. Here's the way I look at it. They've got their lawyers all in the bullpen warming up already. They are going to challenge everything they can. The only way to avoid that is, in my opinion, President Trump has to win 270 electoral votes minimum, not total, but he has to win that many votes in states where he wins by a 10% or better margin. If he wins by 10%, I don't think they're going to think it's kind of useless to challenge it. But if he doesn't get 270 electoral votes in those states, everything's going to be challenged. On the other side, I think that President Trump has to get his legal team going so that, I don't know, I think what they should do is challenge every election, every House of Representatives election that is won by a Democrat. Just drag it out, keep those people from being seated. Reason being, some people have suggested that the plan may be just to litigate the election so long that the Speaker of the House will have to assume the presidency after the no winner is declared and the terms expire. So maybe if they can keep the Democrats from being seated when the House term starts, like the first Monday in January, maybe they can get a new speaker, maybe even a Republican speaker. That would put the kibosh on things now, wouldn't it? And I am out of time, so tap into the truth coming up in 30 minutes, and I am out of here.